Well, good evening to each one of you, and I greet you in Jesus' name, and also bring greetings to you from 4th Avenue Congregation. A lot of faces here that I haven't seen out there, so come and see us some weekend. That would be great. We'd be glad to have you. Thank you for that last song. What lofty lyrics. And it's not empty words, but it's just words that begin to try to express our Lord and our God. And I thought about those thoughts, see. We sing the words. Do we give space to the thoughts of those lyrics in our own minds? The power of our thoughts. So I saw that title and didn't seem like there would be a good reason to say no, not to come, and so I accepted it. But in second thought, it does look like a title that you'd see at the top of like a TED talk or something, or it sort of looks like a title you might, see in some motivational speech or something that Dalai Lama would be talking about, right? The power of our thoughts. It's an intriguing title. And I had to really think about what I was going to do with the subject. So I don't want to belabor that, but we'll go through some of that as we work our way through this sermon. This subject of thoughts reminds me of your opening comments, Brother Chris, the subject of wisdom. How do you start to take it apart? How do you look at it? How do you put it back together? Right now, in every one of your minds exists some kind of thought pattern, some process, something maybe about what I've said or what I didn't say or particular accent I have or just a problem you have back at home, a whole host of things. Our thoughts are, you really cannot put your hands around them. We don't really know the source. That's pretty well understood of how thoughts enter our mind. As I pondered over this, there were some questions that came to my mind. Do thoughts have power? The power of our thoughts. Do thoughts have power? How do they have power? How does that power manifest itself? And how much power do they have? There'd be a whole host of other questions. And I'll just say tonight, if you were hoping for a deep philosophical treatment of this subject, you're looking at the wrong man. I don't have a degree in psychology. Where do thoughts come from? That's another thought that entered my mind. And I already raised that question. But where do they come from? It's a fair question. Power of our thoughts. Tonight, there's a saying that goes like this. You are what you think. We are what we think. And that saying has truth in it. I accept that reality, that there is truth in that statement. And yet this subject has been taken so far, far beyond truth itself, into a paradigm that truly reaches into spiritual powers of dubious origins. This idea, this teaching, has been developed, and the powers that flow into that teaching, there's spiritual powers behind it. I accept that as well. My wife and I were having a discussion about this subject, and I was telling her about some of the ways I was being tripped up by it. And she said, well, but thoughts do have power. You think about the things of God. You think about what God's word says. You think about his promises. There's power in those. I said, I agree with you. There is. But you also have to acknowledge that thoughts that don't come from God have power also. And so this, maybe we could just compare it to last evening, we had a church picnic, and I was standing with a brother, we were talking, and it was a beautiful evening. Both of us, we just sort of looked up, and there was this big plane flying across. And one of us opened up the app. Oh, yeah, that's a 747-400 going to, you know, Amsterdam or wherever it was. So the law of God that allows that plane to be built, developed, and flown through the sky, it's all God's laws. I would also suggest that it's the same laws that can allow man to put together a missile with a nuclear end on it and send it across the world for great destruction. And it's the same way in this law of our thoughts and the power that's in them. Certainly, God can bring those thoughts. The Holy Spirit can move powerfully. We believe that. But also, other thoughts can also move powerfully as well. It's the way we've been built. And so not only does God use that opportunity in his creation, but then we have all of the other aspects, our own flesh, the world, and what all that means, what all is built into that. And then you have the spiritual powers of darkness, and they all use... Probably getting ahead of myself, but I'll give you an example. Mariana Williamson, she's running for president. You may have missed that. I think she still is, not sure. But at any rate, when Hurricane Dorian arrived on the scene, she sent out a tweet, and she said this: use the power of the mind to will Dorian elsewhere. That's just an example of what has been built into and developed into this power of thought idea. And I'm not going to say that Marianne or the public consciousness could or could not affect something as powerful as a hurricane. But there is power in thoughts. And I'll just let that word, I'm not even trying to make any statement about that. I'm just saying that there is power in thoughts. Well, let's move on. Self-help books, full of humanistic teaching and disciplines, are everywhere. Higher learning and spiritualists have studied and wrote on this subject extensively. And so that's why this idea that Marianne put out there, it's nothing new. This has been taught and developed for millennia. And so I'm not even going to attempt to sort through most or any of that tonight. However, we can at least make this observation. Our thoughts are recognized by all these parties, regardless of their viewpoint, as having incredible influences in our lives. And, you know, I'll just talk about one in particular, one that comes to mind, and that is this idea of there is so much. Okay, one of the things that doctors want to create is an environment of hope for a patient. because it is critical. It's a factor in a patient recovering from a serious illness. If you think that you cannot recover from this, and you have no reason to recover from this, and you don't know if you even want to recover from this, it's very possible you will not recover from this. Wow. But if you really believe that you can, what am I saying? That sounds so humanistic. But the realities are, is that our bodies are made, and again, I'm just jumped right off into the deep part because I can't explain it. I don't know if anyone can. But we're so uniquely made that God allows even that part of our will to work in our bodies and make a difference. Obviously, there's limitations to all of that. But I think we can recognize that truth. We've experienced some of that ourselves. And then if you think about that thing that you just, that job, that task, there's no way I can do it. I had to think a little bit positively about this subject, or I don't know if I'd be standing here tonight. And it's just going to be okay, whatever happens with whatever I have here. But those, you know, if you think you really can't overcome a problem, it might not be overcome. Think about a task, a job, a difficulty. And so what happens is you just don't engage your mind and your intellect and your choice. And because you don't do that, you don't have opportunities that are waiting for you if you would but begin to plow down the road. Those kinds of things. Those are at least part of this whole discussion. A Bible verse I'll just reach out to right now. It's one that I thought of. I have it up here as a theme verse, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I'll tell you right now, the heart, mind, and thoughts are hard for me to keep separate. They are very closely connected, in my opinion. Now, thinking about a sound mind or a spirit of fear, my 5-year-old son has a spirit of fear right now, if you want to use that term. He's fearful of the upstairs. So it can be 8 o'clock in the evening, and it's hardly even sunset yet. The lights are on upstairs. There's a child over in the other room getting dressed for bed, and it's just too much to go up there by himself. And it's like, what's the problem, you know? And then, okay, so I'll go up to help him get organized and get him to bed, and the bathroom's right around the corner, and, you know, he wanted to make, he put on like he just wasn't going to go there. And maybe his mother was being a little too soft on him, but I didn't play with that game with him. And he did end up in the bathroom by himself then. But so that's a 5-year-old. But the power of that, it held him back. I mean, it was a big deal. And I thought of it the other morning. I left early to go to a meeting, and I walked up out across. It was a foggy sort of, still 5:30, and it was foggy, and I walked up through the yard and come up by the place where we keep our trash containers, and tends to be, as happens, some things that get torn up sometimes, or some boxes and stuff sitting around. We've had lots of critters there. I was out to help with a coon situation the other night. The dogs were all stirred up about. And at any rate, I was just walking up by there, and all of a sudden, I'm like, ooh, what? And a thought came into my mind. Well, maybe there is a critter that's going to come launching out of there because it's afraid of me or something. I don't know. It just made you sort of think about it. So those are the kind of things that they affect us. I mean, I was like, wait a minute, because I was thinking about this. I'm like, wow, that was a thought that, you know, did something in me right there. That was interesting. Anyway, my desire is to stick as close as possible to the parameters of revealed truth as we study this subject. And we have a book. So this verse, like 2 Timothy 1:7, and others like it, teach us that God cares about our thoughts and the well-being of our mind and our intellect. He wants to tear down fears. He's not given us the spirit of fear. He wants to tear that down with truth. He wants us to be able to live in love. You see, love is such a hopeful thing. Love is such a positive thing. Love and its actions, the kind of thoughts that go with love, are very healthy. And they are good thoughts. And that's what God's telling us in here. But of power and of love and of a sound mind, that's what God wants to do. He wants us to live in love for humanity. And he wants us to have positive thought patterns. That's not just all, the catchphrases of our society today. It's a good thought. He wants us to have positive thought patterns about ourselves, about others, and certainly about just life. Positive thought patterns that are built on a foundation of this verse. Power, love, and certainly the sure foundation of a sound mind. Thank God for healthy minds. Thank God for sound minds. All of us can face times when we get onto that razor edge, and some more than others. And there you are, you teeter on that edge, and your mind has just about had all that it can take. And but I thank God for a sound mind, and we should certainly be thankful of that because of how it impacts our lives. Well, one of the things I came across was a diagram that I liked, and so I grabbed it, and I'm going to put it up here on the whiteboard. Simple little diagram. I hope you can read it back there. At the top, you have thoughts, which is our subject tonight, and the triangle, the connection between and to feelings, and on this side to behavior, in case you can't see this. Behavior is in the other circle. Thoughts are comprised of information that our brain takes in and sends to our mind. Our mind acts as a gatekeeper. I'm reading you a definition that I read and I liked, and so I'm reading it to you. Our mind acts as a gatekeeper of the computed information. It determines which information is relevant, and thus what will become our mental focus. Those thoughts can very easily become beliefs that can affect our feelings in positive or negative ways. And of course, feelings are that emotional response to thoughts and behaviors. And so our feelings are closely connected to our thoughts. They are indicators of our connection to a situation. They stem from our experience and our perspectives, our particular upbringing, and those kinds of things that influence our perspectives. And finally, behaviors are the actions generated from our thoughts and feelings. The way we behave is in response to something. The way we behave in response to something is because our thoughts persuade us it's the best decision to make at the time. As I already mentioned, I have a hard time
one of the things, I feel like this is a synonym almost, the mind. The Bible talks about the mind. It's a place where the thoughts are processed. How are you going to describe it? Is the mind the brain? Is it more than that? Probably. The other thing I've thought about is that, and it may be just be because I preached a message not so long ago on this, but keep your hearts was the title, and it's from a verse in Proverbs, I think it's 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And it seems to me like the heart sort of wraps all of this up. Plus, and more beyond, the heart includes the spiritual element of who we are. And all of this is worked out. And the heart is the seat, if you will. It's where the war takes place between our will and our thoughts and our feelings and our choices. So it all sort of, I find that it sort of connects together a lot. So we're thinking about our thoughts and how they affect us. And I think what I'd like to do here for the remainder of the service is just sort of move us into, to me, again, if you wanted to have in-depth study about thoughts and how they affect, that's just not me. But what we can do is we can go to God's Word and we can just take some practical points from this to help us to be able to actually have thoughts, powerful as they are, that influence us for good and the positive things that we want, the things that God wants in our lives. And so if you want to, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. I have 3 points I want to look at. You might already know which verses I want to look at in Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, I've accepted the mind and the thought as being very closely connected and teachable in the same way. And Romans 12 here, the point that I have here, number one, is transform. We are thinking about our thoughts. And this evening, I want to remind us of a very important part, the most important, the foundational change that can be wrought by God in us. And that is the transformation of our minds, of our thought processes. The word means metamorphosis. And so our minds need to get wrapped up in the cocoon of Jesus Christ so that we can come out a new person, a new mind, able to think and process from a new perspective. A transformed mind is key. There's no replacement. There's no shortcut to this. Colossians 3 has a similar thought in verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And so transformation requires input. Our thoughts need daily intervention and fresh knowledge every day. And this knowledge comes from God. This truth comes from God. It enters into the very center of us, our minds, our thoughts. And it changes us. That's where power comes from. That's where grace comes from. The kind of power that we want to be able to have healthy, godly thought processes,
come from this transformation process. Grace for every day comes through knowledge and truth that directs our thoughts. And so our thoughts, I said, where do thoughts come from? Well, they are influenced and come from probably innumerable places. But one of the places that they come from is from God. It's through the Spirit of God. It's through His truth. And it enters into our hearts. And so the true power, there is power in our thoughts, and there is true power that comes to us in our thoughts. We're able to face tremendous conflict and warfare because our very thought processes have been transformed. It's a very elementary thought. It's one that we've taught many times. It's one that we've thought about. And I trust it's one that we have experienced because it changes how we process our thoughts. It changes where we reach out to for our truth. It gives us that sure foundation that we talked about from Timothy. And so this point will be a brief point, but tomorrow morning as we rise, let's be certain to ask God for His power in us through the transformation of our thoughts and our mind. We need that transformed mind, the transformed thoughts. It's so key. This is the piece that's missing from most of those self-help books that are around us. And they believe that somehow through the perfect mixture of thoughts and disciplines, they'll be able to produce that transformation and get rid of the stinking thinking and those kinds of phrases. And all those thoughts and disciplines have their value, but there's a key piece of this that comes to us from God through Jesus Christ and the renewed mind, the transformed mind. And then we become, and we're able to be fruitful as God wants us to be, transformed by the renewing of the mind. The second point that I want to look at tonight, so we've talked about transformation. The second is to confront. Confront. It's a negative word, but we see this in the scripture at numerous places. And if you want to, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4 and verse 5. I came back to these verses because they seem to speak so clearly to this. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. These verses speak about warfare. These verses talk about confrontation. They talk about battle. And I don't know what your experience is, but I can tell you that for me, my experience is that the battle of the mind can be quite an intense war field of war. And we struggle with a lot of thoughts, you could put doubts and fears, and we'll get to some of those things perhaps, but these verses talk about strongholds. Again, it's clear that we're talking about at the very least a spiritual battle. But because these verses particularly come directly to this idea of thoughts, I would like to recognize it also as a battle on the level of our thoughts. And yes, there is strongholds in our thinking. So that's the first. And I also want to say this. These verses do not diminish the power of our thoughts. It's not scoffing at it. It's just saying, look, you're going to need to confront. There's a battle that goes on in our minds, in our thoughts. There's a very real battle. There's a very real battle. But rather, we understand that our thoughts need to be brought into scrutiny. We need to bring them under control, this verse tells us. We need to reject those that are bad. Why would you scrutinize something? Why would you confront except for to stand against something that isn't good? And so we recognize that there are thoughts that come to us that are intended, whatever their source might be, to take us down, to impact us negatively, to take us away from God, to take it a step further, to pull us away from, to separate us from truth. That is at least part of what's going on here. So strongholds is mentioned here. And what are they? Well, if you can accept my definition, strongholds are places in our mind where thought processes have developed belief systems that are at the least not based on truth, or further footholds of Satan to confuse and destroy. So it's not just a thought that moves into our mind, but rather it's a series of thoughts that we've put together over time or allowed to come together over mind that has established a belief system, a way of viewing something that's wrong. It's a stronghold. And it says here, I say it's, there are strongholds that are most likely positive as well. I'm not sure if that can be a positive and a negative word. But what we're being told here is to tear down, pull down strongholds. And so it seems like it's certainly a negative. Belief systems guide our thoughts many times without us realizing it. Of course. And unless we're willing to ask ourselves or allow others to ask us, why do you respond this way? Why did you make this choice? How did you come to this conclusion? Those are the questions, I believe, that this verse is encouraging us to do. We need to ask ourselves why do we perceive things the way we do? Why did we make that decision? It wasn't a good one. How did that happen? Where did that come from? How did that reasoning come together in our minds? And so these verses are encouraging us to look at those things. Understand that in our minds, we actually have a choice to make about what we do with our thoughts, and we should analyze those. We should be thinking about those. It doesn't need to just play out, but rather we can interrupt that process. And sometimes we need others' help to do it. And those of us who are married and have that close to becoming one relationship, that's a good place to allow and to have and receive that kind of help. Anyway, strongholds are to be pulled down. We must pull them down by confronting them with truth. And of course, fellow helpers like brothers and sisters in Christ, like our parents, like our spouse. And yes, sometimes someone who has, I'll say it, a counselor. Yeah, there's a time to sit down with somebody and say, now what helped me to understand this thought process? And some people give a lot of time to that. We must pull these down by a desire to grow, to become more useful, to come to conclusions and make choices that are based on proper and healthy belief systems. And so I believe that's how they are cast down. Continuing on, well, he goes on to say, then casting down imaginations. A closely connected thought, but maybe a little different. Casting down imaginations. You know, it's an imagination is something that we tell ourselves that's not truth, or it's a lie even. And so you pull in to pick up your children, and for some reason the lady that you meet every afternoon, she always has that demeanor about her that you just don't know what she thinks of you, or those kinds of things. And I'll go to this side of the house anytime. But it's those kind of things, that brother and his comment to me. And so we begin to build that imagination. It's a thought process that's just not based on reality or truth, because most times it's because of some of our own thought processes, if they're weaknesses, that are even opening that door to begin with. And so when we begin to sort through some of those things, I just had an opportunity to do that recently with with a person, with two brothers. And you begin to realize that, oh, that conversation, there was the misunderstanding. That's where our thoughts didn't connect. And so it's easy to begin to build imaginations that just aren't based on truth. And this verse is telling us to cast those things down. Every day it's easy for us to begin to tell ourselves lies because we do not view ourselves properly, because we do not view others properly, and a myriad of other things. And it greatly impacts our usefulness. It can impact our health. It can impact our relationships. And it's all based on imagination, thinking that's not grounded in truth and reality. Well, we're called to cast down those imaginations. And there's no end to books, right? Maybe some of you have seen this book. It's been around since the 80s, Telling Yourself the Truth. And it's a helpful book. I've found help in this book. I have not read it cover to cover. I'll make sure I tell you that truth. But I have picked it up different times and have just taken in a chapter and found some help in it. And it is a book that can easily be found, and it really, I think, does well in some of the very things that we're talking about right now. It helps to sort through that in a simple way, in a very Bible-based way, and helps us to sort of take apart our thinking, our thoughts, and our processes. Well, the final one that we have here in these verses is we think about confronting, and that is here in, and bring into captivity every thought. Bring into captivity every thought. Ever wish your mind wasn't so busy? Ever wish you could just slow it down? Do I always have to be thinking about something? So, I don't know how to change that. But the next thing I'm going to say is not going to make it any easier. I think what this verse is telling us, if I just accept it in the simple English that's here, is that we have the responsibility of screening every one of those thoughts. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so I like how he connects it right to Christ, and that is the big foundation, that's the big filter, that's the standard of right that we're to align our thoughts to. And so we're to bring them into captivity. We need to investigate, we need to contemplate, and we need to make a decision on every thought. Well, that seems like a tall order, but I think we need to understand that as a whole, we just can't let our minds run. When you say, wait a minute, Tim, you are not telling yourself the truth. It's just not that way. And we're to bring those thoughts before Christ. And we're to bring them into captivity. It means I have got to put some reins on my mind. And be willing to do that hard work. Because after all, we don't really know where all those thoughts come from. I don't want to overemphasize that. It's just that I think that's a statement that I don't know what else to do with. And so we do need to. We need to bring our thoughts into captivity through the obedience of Christ. By the power of God, through the transformed mind, we must bring every thought into captivity and decide whether or not that thought should remain in our hearts, in our minds, in our conscience, and put it into a box, whether it's helpful, whether it's something that should be thought about later, and so on. We must be willing to take up this battle. A healthy balanced, informed, and offensive mind is needed in this day, in a day of information overload, of truth bombs that just go everywhere, of just a stream of information, knowledge, and maybe a little bit of truth that just comes our way. It's a pipeline. And it's one of the reasons why there is as much unhealthy minds and thought patterns. Let me just say it this way. It has greatly impacted the health and well-being of society's minds. It's fairly very commonly accepted that the information overload, the amount of stuff that comes out, the range of stuff that comes at us, has overloaded many minds. And so we need to be careful with that. Sometimes we need to pull it in. Sometimes when those fears and concerns and things that you just can't control, situation that you can't control, or that you cannot help, there is a place to step back. Say, my mind doesn't need to handle those thoughts. I don't need to be reading that. I don't need to be checking in on that. I don't need to be concerned about that, because it's not good. It's taking me somewhere. It's taking me away from Christ. It's taking me away from truth. It's making me fearful about our world. You know, see, there's a whole bunch of truth that weighs into this. We have the opportunity to give up our concerns, our burdens, and our thoughts that we don't want to know what to do with to a higher power. We can give them to God. And we can trust them there. And, you know, there's a lot of instability in our world. And one of the things that has blessed me, I grew up in a home where a father who paid attention to national and global events, and I tend to enjoy the same things. But I know one thing that has helped me is to always pray for every one of those leaders that I happen to be thinking about or reading about. And so I was happy to pray for President Barack Obama. I'm happy to pray for President Donald Trump. And I find, I guess it's bringing some of those thoughts into the obedience of Christ. It's under the power of God. It's in the hands of God. It's just a blip on the radar underneath the kingdom of Christ. Those are the ways in which I have found to be helpful to process some of the things that go on in our world. Well, my final point, and I'm sorry, I will close, is to saturate. Saturate. Transform, confront, and saturate. Well, where do we go for that? Saturate. What do you think? Philippians 4. And those familiar verses, turn with me there. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. Think on these things. Think on these. Would you just please allow your thought, that those words, these thoughts, to soak into your mind, into our hearts? Lovely, pure, just. I love this verse. It is a verse that I need to repeat to myself from time to time. Think on these things, the lovely things, and to soak on those things. This verse does not diminish the power of our thoughts. It recognizes the great need for us to think on all of these great qualities so that the power of our thoughts is properly informed and directed, and so that God is able to get the most out of those thoughts that enter into our minds, because we're thinking about that pure thing, the holy thing, the just thing, the good thing. We can look at some other verses surrounding these verses there, also in Philippians 4, but I don't think we'll do that. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, just just true. It's worth trying to just sort it out a little bit and decide if that's true or not. If it's questionable, just let it go. Don't dwell on it. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. You know what? I don't know. That rumor just has some malicious intent. It seems like it may not be totally founded in truth. That gossip, that piece of gossip, just let it go. Don't even think about it. Don't think about it. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. There's so much unjustness in our world today. And again, there's so many things that we really cannot change. We do well to think about those things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely. It's okay to stop and smell the roses, whatever that means for you. Maybe it's just a cup of coffee in the morning. You know, there's something lovely to me about making sure that I have enough time in the morning to have a cup of coffee with my wife as I read the Bible. That is a lovely thing, and it's worth thinking about. Whatsoever things are of good report. I don't know. I guess that means pull the plug on most every bit of news that there is out there. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise. We're to think about things that are worthy of praise, are worthy of God. I think that's why I connected to that song you led as we sang about who God is. And it lifts our minds up and helps us to think thoughts that are just lofty. And as Anne of Green Gable wrote, gives scope for the imagination as you think about who God is. Words can't express it, but the words can open our minds to those things that are lovely and praise. Let me just close with this. I got a text one night, not so long ago. Saturday evening, I was studying for a sermon in my little study there at the house. I got a text from the neighbor man. Tim, I need to stop by. I need to talk. And I like, could we have a Bible study? Sure, stop on by. And so he did, about 8:30. And he come in and sat down, and he was all in a stew. And his world has a lot of stews in it. You know, it breaks most every one of the healthy thought processes, and because of that has come close or has attempted his life. I'm not even sure exactly where all those are. So we need to talk, and I would like a Bible study. He's a man of faith, I would say that. And so we sat together and we talked for a little bit. He said, "Well, where are we going to study?" And I said, "Well, what do you say?" I said, "Well, how about we just turn to John? Let's just turn to John 14. He was also very troubled about someone who had died. I said, "Let's just read some of these verses. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your thoughts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You know the verses. And they continue on. And it was just amazing to see that mind smooth out, calm down. Was it the Spirit of God? Certainly it was. Was it some new thoughts moving through that mind? Yes. It was thoughts about truth. It was lovely things. It was pure things. It was beautiful things. Those things that are good report. And that's what God wants to do. So may God help us with our thoughts that we would be able to bring them into captivity and we have productive minds for our great God. God bless you.